بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When Shaitan was thrown out of Jannat, thrown out of the heavens, so he had vowed, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, I will try in every possible manner to mislead the children of Adam a.s. Because it was Adam that was the cause of my downfall. So when he is the cause of my downfall, then I will mislead his children, his progeny. Why must I languish in Jahannam all alone? I am going, then they must accompany me as well. And would that he also stated, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, and O Allah, it's so easy to mislead them because majority are ungrateful. They are not grateful. So it is easy to manipulate them. Then Allah Ta'ala says about Shaitan's opinion, his opinion about mankind, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ, Shaitan had formulated an opinion of mankind that most of them, majority, will be ungrateful. So this opinion of his was proven to be true, that they are such. So the door for Shaitan to trap us, to mislead us, is the door of ungratitude, ungratefulness, not appreciating. When one is in difficulty, then he only thinks about the difficulty that he is in. And all the good that he'd enjoyed all over the years, so many years and years and years of good that he'd enjoyed, that is totally forgotten. All he will sing about is those few days and those few moments of difficulty. Whereas in comparison, when we draw comparison, we find that the days of prosperity and happiness are far, far greater than the days of misfortune and difficulty. Every now and then there is a wedding, there is a dawat, there is an invite, and there is prosperity all around. So we see this all the time. Now and then you hear about a death, you hear about a funeral of a person that is immediately close and related to you. But happy occasions you see all the time. So this is the tabiat, this is the temperament of man, that when he is confronted with difficulties, then he forgets all the good that he'd been enjoying, and he only thinks and reflects over the few moments of difficulties that he had gone through. The hadith speaks about women that Rasulullah saw them to be the most of the inmates of Jahannam. And then one of the reasons for them being the inmates of Jahannam, or the majority of the inmates of Jahannam, again the Nabi says the same thing, that takfurnal ashir. Takfurna al-ashir, they are ungrateful to the husband. That if they had been enjoying themselves with the husband and something happened not to their liking, then they would say, we haven't seen any good by you. Humne kya dekha? Kuch cheetre dekhe, kuch leetre dekhe, kuch theekre dekhe. Aur kya dekha aapke paas? We show only a few scraps of food. Scraps of food, we saw. What else we saw? And we saw scraps, and we were in rags, you know, rags, scraps, and few broken utensils. That's all we saw. What else we saw by you? So all the good that you have done, and then when she makes a summary of you, then it's a few rags and a few scraps and a few broken utensils. That's what we enjoyed at you. See? So this is the reason, Nabi Sassam says, that this is the reason why they are counted to be ungrateful. And this is thereafter the reason for them to be the majority of the inmates of Jahannam. So, Shaitan found the way to trap us. The way to trap us, our weak point is we are ungrateful. And then this was the way that he found to trap us, to mislead us, and to send us to Jahannam. So, when we summarize this whole thing, then what is to be done to close those doors of Shaitan? Then the way to close the doors of Shaitan is then to be thankful. One great muhaddis, one person went to meet him. So he saw him in a state, muhaddis and a mufassir, he saw him in a state that he was in a coma. He could talk, but he was in a coma, can't move his limbs, nothing. So this person, out of respect of the muhaddis, he says to him, to the muhaddis, that can I do something for you? He says, no, what need can I have? I am so much of luxury, so much of comfort, I get all my things, all my needs fulfilled. On my food, my son is there, he gets it for me. Any of my physical needs, my physical needs, all are fulfilled, so what must I be complaining about? I got iman, and I am in comfort, and though I am not mobile, but all my needs are being fulfilled. I got iman, my needs are being fulfilled, everything is working for me. So, I got nothing to complain about. So this muhaddis then says, alright, you're insisting that you want to do some service. My son has gone out for doing some chores for myself. So he's delayed in coming back. So if you can do this much, just go and see where's my son. He went to this so-and-so in place. So why is he delaying? So anyway, he came back to report the whole thing, what he saw. He said, no, I saw your son, but he's dead. He's ravaged by dogs. The dogs have eaten his body from several places in a miserable state. And this is what happened to your son. So he cried for some moments, 3-4 moments. Then again he said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my son has been killed by wild animals, so he's a shaheed. Alhamdulillah, he's a shaheed. He didn't die in disbelief and kufr. And Alhamdulillah, he wasn't humiliated by any kafir or so. He wasn't humiliated. So he lived a mu'min and he died a mu'min. And he was killed by wild animals. So Alhamdulillah, he's died a shaheed. Allah Pak wanted, if he wanted, he would have disgraced the son of mine. He could have been in drugs. He could have been in the casino. He could be in a gang fight. He could be womanizing. He could be drugging. He could be doing many other things that would have brought disgrace and humiliation to both himself as well as me. But Allah Pak protected him from all this. He died in this way. So it's not a humiliation. It's not a disgrace that he died in this way. Yes, if it was something else, then it would have been a real disgrace. So Allah Pak has saved my son from all this and he's giving him a death in this way. It's how you look at the whole situation. When we want to make a problem of that situation, we can make a problem of that situation. But if you want to make it a thing to cheer about, then you can cheer about a situation as well. So, he's thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's how you look at the situation. That same situation, one person can be crying, and he can be weeping about it, and the other person can be cheering about it. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me so much. He has blessed me with so much. He's given me iman, my limbs are functioning, I can think correctly, though I don't have a good job, but I can think correctly, I am respected, I am engaged in namaz, I have not gone off the cause. So these are all the favors of Allah Ta'ala that He's allowed me to be like this. Now, what happens to us, the only favor that we count as a favor is I got a thriving business. Business must be thriving. If the business is thriving, then everything is good. Then I am thankful. But these other favors of Allah Ta'ala, we disregard them. So, one simple way to jam up and to close the avenues of Shaitan, now he's closed, right? But then in the next 11 months also we want to jam him up. So the easy way to jam Shaitan up is from in every situation, be thankful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, I got this, this person doesn't have this. We, alright, are sitting in the comfort of the masjid, we have a roof over our heads, we're having good meals, alhamdulillah, maybe not even 5 courses, maybe 20 courses of meals, you know. I was counting yesterday about 3-4 types of chutneys and kachumar. Then you got 7-8 types of tarkaris and savories. Then that's 11, right? Then you count the type of bread they got. There are 3-4 types of bread, 15. Then you talk about the juices and the cold drinks, over 20 varieties. Sitting in the house of Allah, Allah, so much of comfort. Now you think about it, Allah, Allah, what you have done for me, what you have done for me. Allah, I don't deserve these things. Allah, don't make this a means of my punishment. So you will think differently. You will not think, you know, the roza now, and I'm a Muslim, and I have to fast and go hungry like this. You won't think like that. You will think from a different dimension. When you think from that different dimension, that same thing that seems to be a difficult thing now becomes a blessing. Allah, you made it so easy, so much of sawab you're going to give, and the roza is so less, so short, less than 12 hours also. Allah, how kind you are. Allah, how compassionate you are. So in the cubicles, in your quiet moments, if you think about the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that for so small an effort, and so such a big reward, such a small effort, and such a big reward, this is only possible by a creator who is very compassionate, over compassionate, is over kind, over merciful. Only he can do it. That such a small effort you have done, and he's rewarding you so abundantly, that it is only the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this way, when you think in every respect, every aspect, and you think about the dimension of shukr, the dimension of gratitude, of appreciation, then you are jamming up shaitan. Shaitan can't get any inroads into you. And the way to get the shukr, a simple way of getting shukr is, then you look at the people that are underprivileged. That's the only way you'll get shukr. We are sitting here with so much of comfort, ease, security, peace, everything. Now, you hear about our brothers in Burma, right? Or in Syria, or in Palestine, or we're going too far. Even our brothers, there are a lot of Muslims that are living in the jhondals, right? And what type of lives they are living? They are also Muslims, many of them. They are reading namaz, and they read the Quran Sharif like how we read the Quran Sharif. They are fasting like how we fast. But then compare their lives to our lives. What Allah Pak has blessed us and how they are living. So when we think like this, then we think of real situations. We think to ourselves, both of us are coming from the same father, Adam alayhi salam. Same man, one father, but one person is living like this, one person is living like this. Oh Allah Ta'ala, I don't have the words to thank you, Allah Ta'ala. I can't thank you, I'm unable to thank you. So if you reason like this, then you'll always be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. The cash benefit you get with gratitude and appreciation is, you get a deep inner feeling of satisfaction and happiness. It's a cash benefit. So one simple, easy way to jam up and close up shaitan's doors and avenues to yourself is to engage your mind in gratitude and in the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what favors He's done for you, and how you're appreciating it, how you're responding and how you're replying to His favors. So you think about this, then the one simple and easy way to be grateful, not only from your tongue, but from your heart as well. Then one is to be grateful to Allah ta'ala, then to be grateful to people as well. Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was negotiating the deal for the prisoners at Badr. People had come, wanted to negotiate. Now what do we do with them? Do we kill them? Or do we send them free? Or we take a ransom for them? And Mut'im, someone had come by the name of Mut'im or Adi, whatever the name was, he came to negotiate the terms. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لو كان مطعما حيا وكلمني في هؤلاء النتنى لأطلقتهم له. If Mut'im were alive today and he had negotiated the terms for these prisoners, then I would have released the last of them without any ransom. Now, Rasulullah was so grateful to this person, Mut'im. Why was he so grateful to this person, Mut'im? Because Rasulullah had gone to Taif, and we know about the incident of Taif and how he was treated with aggression. Right? How he was treated with aggression, we hear all about that story. Now he's come back to Makkah Mukarrama, and apparently there's no one to offer him security. Like how in this day we have a thing like a visa. You can live in a place when you've got a visa. At that time, that visa was called a security, an aman. Right? So that was equivalent to a visa. So he's coming back to Makkah Mukarrama, as though Makkah Mukarrama had expelled him, had driven him out. Now he's coming back, and he doesn't have a visa to live here. So Mutim had offered that security to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You stay here, and you do as you please, and nobody will obstruct, nobody will object to your staying here. So Rasulullah appreciated this of Mutim. So many years, Mutim had died and gone, it's finished. But, and nobody knows about this. Not many people are alive that know about it. But the Rasulullah would not forget the ihsan and the favor that was done by a simple person, a kafir also. That if he had come today and negotiated the terms of these prisoners, I would have released them all. So one is the favors that we enjoy at the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than at the hands of people. Same in a marital situation, then the husband thinks about the wife, and the wife also thinks about the husband. The husband thinks about the wife in this way, what has she done for my well-being? How much she has done? How much she has done for my well-being? She has left her friends, her relatives, her family, her home, her hometown she has left, and her habits she has left also, only to come and live with me. So many sacrifices she made. Just because she is married to me, she made all these sacrifices just for that. Now, when she made all these sacrifices, if there is a mistake here and there, she stumbles here and there, one day she didn't prepare it right, or she prepared it with a delay, or she pulled out her face, whatever, like we have women's stories. So if it happened, then I mustn't make a squeal about it, I mustn't pull the roof down. I must look at all the good that she has done, all these years, amount of goodness, the favors, and the comforts that I had. And the greatest comfort, you know, that a man can think about, the greatest comfort is, think to yourself that she is here, and she is a fortress for your iman. She is a fortress of your iman. If she went there, just in a case where she wasn't there, right? And you alone in your house, right? What wrong thoughts can't float in your mind? You got Mukherjee coming to work for you, and you got a lot of things, you got money, and you got the phone, you got phone and contacts of all people, escort agencies, etc. And you got money, you got free time, you got everything available. So what stops you from going in that end? Now, she is a means of the protection of your iman. That she is around, your mind is at ease. جَعَلْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَجْزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Your mind is calm, composed. Your mind doesn't run around in all wrong directions. So can't you be thankful about that? So when you think about that, say, well, it's too cheap a price. But she is a means of the protection of my iman, that I must be grateful. The small little things I mustn't pay attention to. So she will think about the husband in this way. The husband will think about her in this way. And she will also think about the husband in that very vein. Let's see, I'm so relaxed, I've got no anxiety, no excitement, what's going to happen for the next day. Everything is brought to me, my food, my requirements, my necessities, everything is brought to me on the plate. I must sit at home and just enjoy. My poor husband, he has to go out, he has to strive for the day, the difficulties, the creditors, he has to listen to them, the debtors, he has to see to them. And she has to see that everything is done in time, to see that the workers, they are on time, they're doing and they're delivering, how they're supposed to be delivering, all that headaches it takes, only to see that I am comfortable. So when he's doing so much for me, then can't I be a more obedient woman? Can't I be a more loving person for all the difficulties that he takes on, just on my account? So she is being grateful and he's being grateful. Now, won't this be a happy home? So this is the way that you jam up the doors and the avenues of shaitan. You want to really jam it up, so that's how you jam. Because shaitan vowed that, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And Allah Pak also confirms that doubt he found true. That suggestion, that opinion that he had formulated about mankind, that appeared to be true. وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنُّ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ. Most men had followed him, illa fariqan min al-mu'min, a small group of believers are an exception, but otherwise everybody had just followed him. So, in this whole exercise, this whole exercise of i'tikaf, and yesterday I had spoken about the inner reformation. The real thing that is required is the inner reformation. And the zikrs, etc., that are done, the zikrs are a support and assistant to the inner reformation. Inner correction is the real thing. What we are given is just a support. So, don't misconstrue. Now we begin to pay so much of emphasis on the support and we leave out the real reformation. The real reformation, we leave it out. But the support, we pay too much of attention, that is also not right. So, we'll find people now going into the extremes. They'll be looking at television, they'll be talking of girls, and they'll be looking at porn sites, whatever else. But my sheikh has told me to complete this ma'mool and this wazifa. I must complete that wazifa. That I mustn't make any kazaf. I mustn't miss that out. That I must do it. But then all the other wrong things in business, whether with women, whether other wrong things that I'm involved in, that I'm not cared about, not bothered about. But this thing here, I mustn't make a slip. Isn't this a mix-up of things? Isn't it a mix-up of facts? The real thing is that that inner reformation, inner correction, inner purity. How Allah Ta'ala wants your heart to be, how Allah Ta'ala wants your mind to be. Free, like I had explained yesterday, free of jealousy. Free of bad and evil intentions. Free of pride. So this is what Allah Ta'ala wants. Your heart must be clear, must be clean. No jealousy and no pride, no arrogance in that. In that heart. Now, you don't pay attention to this, and you're only paying attention to this, really it's not right. This was just a means, just a support, just to see that you continue. It will motivate you, it will encourage you. I don't say that zikr mustn't be done. Don't get me wrong. That's to motivate you, to encourage you. But the real thing is to see these aspects, is there shukr in you? Are you grateful to Allah Ta'ala at any given moment? Are you patient at the time of difficulty and trials? Are you patient? Are you tolerant? Do you endure? One person had gone for Hajj. So on the way, he sees one buck at the distance. It is drinking from a well. So obviously, the water level must have been high, right to the surface, for the buck to drink from that well. But as he approached the well, then he sees the water level has just dropped. Now that water is inaccessible. That water is inaccessible. So he complains to Allah Ta'ala, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, am I not even at the level of this buck in your sight? In your sight, don't I have even this value? That this buck, it doesn't even worship you. It doesn't even fulfill your commandments. Right? It doesn't even execute any of your orders. And for this buck here, and you allow the water level to come right to the surface, right to the top. And when me, I'm in your obligation, I'm in your obedience, I'm carrying out the obligation of Hajj, I'm in your path. When I come in here, the whole water level just drops like this." So Allah Ta'ala answered this person here. You see, this poor buck, it doesn't have any string, it doesn't have a bucket, it doesn't have any means to draw the water from the well. So when it doesn't have any means to draw the water of the well, then it would have died with thirst. It would have died with thirst, so I brought the water level up so that it can satiate itself, it can satisfy itself and move on. But you have a bucket, you have a string, but nonetheless, now that you would complain, now I will raise the water level also for you. Anyway, it was over and he returned back to Baghdad, met Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, and he related the entire incident. Or in fact, he didn't even relate the incident. Hazrat Junaid rahmatullah alayh tells him, had you only been patient and thankful, you would have found a stream running from under your feet. But you became impatient and you began to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, you got something, but you didn't get the higher thing. That was the higher thing. If you had just been patient and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is what you have, what you have, would have got. So this heart must be pulsating with shukr all the time. Thanks, Allah ta'ala, I am thankful to you. Allah ta'ala, I am thankful to you. Let me be a thankful servant. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith, At-ta'imu shakir, at-ta'imu shakir, kas-sa'im al-qa'im. One that eats food, enjoys. Like, I don't see now the food is here now, don't eat the food now. No, I only eat the dar only. No. There is that food, enjoy yourself. We don't say don't enjoy, you enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, but don't overeat. You belch the whole day and you feel upset stomach and all that. The whole day you think again, when's going to be next meal? And when this stomach can get cleared up. And the moment it got cleared up, then you're gone again. So it mustn't be just running around the stomach. That effort mustn't be, that endeavor mustn't be just around the stomach. But when it is the time to eat, enjoy yourself. I don't say don't enjoy, enjoy yourself. Enjoy. Think from every lukma that you are taking, every morsel you are taking. How kind is my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What wrong I am doing? My tongue is not right. My eyes are not right. My ears are not right. I'm doing all stupid, nonsensical things I'm doing. But then put all my stupidity, all my naivety, Allah ta'ala is still feeding me like this. How much of care, how much of respect, brothers are here on khidmat, and they are serving, they're calling me, boy, the food is hot, come and have it now, and they lay it out nice with respect, sitting with respect, boy, you want tea? Someone will come and give you the tea. Boy, you want some toast bread? Or take some toast bread. How can I help you? Want that chutney or whatever? So they are there at the khidmat. See? So Allah ta'ala, you doing so much for me, Allah ta'ala, you're doing so much for me, I really don't deserve this thing here. Now, in your mind, this can happen when we keep to ourselves and we keep quiet. See, they say, when the tongue begins to talk, then the heart is still. The heart is inactive then. But if the tongue is quiet, if the tongue remains silent, then the heart begins to talk. So if you want the heart to talk and to get inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the easy way is to keep quiet. Then you'll get inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deliberately don't let the heart go in different directions. No, I need to go to the farm to get one goat and to do this and whatever else. Don't allow your mind to float around everywhere else. Just leave your mind here and focus to Allah ta'ala how much you can. Then you'll find that your heart will begin to speak. Your heart will begin to speak, Allah, you're feeding me like this. So much of gifts, so much of comforts, so much of enjoyment. If I'm at home, then the wife is doing so much for me. The children are doing so much for me, so you're thinking like this. Then with every morsel that you are taking, and you're crying, though you're not crying from your eyes, but you're crying from your heart, Allah, you're doing so much. Allah, you're doing so much. Allah, let me not be ungrateful to you. This food that I'm eating, let it be used as energy for your service, for your obedience, not in your disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I am weak and I am failing all the time. I am failing miserably. But you are showering favors upon favors. So enjoy them. But within your mind, begin to cry. Begin to think what Allah Pak is doing and how I am returning those favors. What Allah Pak is doing and how am I returning that favors. That little staff that we have in the shop, he's working for us from 8 to late. But we will demand so much from him. So much we'll demand. And if he doesn't, then we'll give him a warning. And second, third time, then we'll give him chutti. When we give him chutti, we'll ask him to leave. Second and third warning, after that we'll give him chutti. Move away. And now we look at our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. I think many, many years ago we should have been given chutti. We should have been thrown out. The way we carry on. Do we serve him like how we want that service from our staff? Do we serve him like how we would desire from the people that are our subordinates? No, we don't. But yet Allah Ta'ala favors. Now you're thinking about Allah Ta'ala favors. Your relationship with your subordinate, your worker, your staff. And your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, obviously you're a slave. When you're a slave, then you're supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be leaving certain things. Then in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of all your weaknesses, he's still favoring you, he's still blessing you, he's still giving you more than what you deserve. So now you're thinking like this and you're eating, you're enjoying. Then you're eating, alhamdulillah. Then now you're in namaz. Then you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala, it's only your grace that I am here. It's only your tawfiq and only by your grace that I am here. Had it not been your grace, then there are millions of your servants that are not here in the masjid. They are not reading Quran Sharif, nothing. Allah, you allowed me to be in your home. You allowed me to be in the state of fasting. A lot of people that are not fasting, maybe they are Muslim in name, but they are not in Roza. They are not coming to the masjid, though they may be Muslim by name. But they're not in Roza, they're not coming to the masjid. Allah Ta'ala, I can't put a price to this, Allah Ta'ala. You give me so much, you give me. Give me so much, so good food. You let me be in your obedience. You let me be in your namaz, in your Roza. Then at other times you let me read and recite the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala, I can't thank you for this. Allah Ta'ala, you are too great. Your kindness and your compassion is too great, Allah Ta'ala. I'm grateful, I recognize, I acknowledge your favors. Abu laka bi ni'matika aliya. Then your heart needs to talk. See? Your heart needs to talk. Leave alone talking to people. The rest of the 330 days in the year, we've been talking to people and talking to our nafs all the time. See? We've been talking to our nafs and to people all the time. Now we talk to Allah Ta'ala. We shut our communications with people and we shut our communications with our nafs. Now let us communicate with Allah Ta'ala. Let's speak to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, this is what you have done for me. Allah Ta'ala, let me be a thankful servant. So I was talking about the hadith. At-ta'imu shakir. You are eating, enjoying, but you are grateful as well. You are eating. That's what I say. Don't deprive yourself. Eat and enjoy. Have good food. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. But don't forget the hand that is giving you. Like we will complain about the staff at times. Yeah, that hand that pays, you're going to kill that same hand. You're going to cut off that same hand. Don't we say these type of things? We made that statement. So the hand that is giving, we forget him completely. He's that hand that is giving. When he's that hand that is giving, then what type of gratitude, what type of thanks, what type of appreciation we need to show to him? So, at-ta'imu shakir, you're eating and you are grateful. But you can be grateful when your tongue is shut. When your tongue is shut, your heart is going to speak, Labak, you've done this for me. Labak, you've done this for me. You've done this for me. So you know your heart is going to be grateful. It's pulsating with sugar. It's pulsating with appreciation, with gratitude all the time. Allah, you've done so much. You've done so much. You've done so much. Really, I don't have the tongue. And I don't have the heart to thank you, Allah Ta'ala, anymore. You've done so much. At-ta'im ash-shakir. Then your reward is sa'im al-qa'im. Like the one that is fasting all the time. He's fasting all the time. All the year round, he's fasting. And he is standing in tahajjud all the time. All the time he is in tahajjud. So what a simple action. You eat, but be grateful. And explain what is the meaning of gratitude. That let not Allah Ta'ala see your heart at any moment in a state of not being grateful, in a state of not being happy with him, in a state of not showing thanks to him. In any given moment, look at from a dimension of gratitude. Allah Ta'ala, you have done this. Allah Ta'ala, you have done this. You have done this for me. So much you have done for me. Like this person, his son is dead. But he still finds an occasion to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Alright, grieving is natural. You are human. So he grieved for that moment, 5-10 minutes, he must have grieved. But then, he didn't forget the dimension of gratitude. That Allah Ta'ala, it's your hand. If you wanted, he could have died in disgrace. He could have been dying in the laps of a prostitute. He could have been dying in a gambling den. He could have been dead in a casino. He could have been dead whilst in drugs. He could have been in total disgrace. He could have been dying in your disobedience. But Allah Pak, you saved him from all this. As Shaykh Ul-Hind Rahmatullahi, we all talk of him. Allah Pak has blessed few people with students, you know, students that will really do work. So this was amongst those people who Allah Ta'ala blessed with great, great students. His student is Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmatullahi. Now, a walking library is his student. Then, the revivalist of the age, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, who revived the tabligh work, is his student. Then the revivalist of the Sawf, etc., Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, is his student. Then the revivalist of Jihad, Muhammad Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, is his student. Then the great Mufassir of the time and the great Muhaddis of the time, Mullah Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullahi, is his student. So all these great people are his student. Now, but look at the person himself, the gratitude. See, Allah Pak, when he blesses on sifat, on certain situations. He sees your inner self, he sees your heart. And from your heart, then he begins to bless. Like you see these Arabs, right? Allah Ta'ala had selected the Nabi from them. Sahaba Ikram generally from the Arabs, right? So they had certain qualities. On account of these qualities, they were blessed. So these qualities, they are the things that really count. So this quality, that inner self, you know what I say about the inner reformation, that is the thing that counts. Based on that inner self, Allah Ta'ala will bless. How grateful, how your inner self is conforming. How it's conforming. You have humility, you don't think much of yourself, you don't have an attitude, you don't pull up your face, you don't become aggressive, you don't begin to run people down, you don't embarrass, you don't harbor malice in your heart. So these are the qualities, these are the things based upon which Allah Ta'ala blesses. Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah Ali, and he was apprehended by the English at Jeddah, and then from Jeddah he was moved on to Malta prison, right? And now in that zamana they went, these boats that were navigating mechanically, you know. They didn't have any engines and motors, so they were just at the mercy of the winds. The Shaykh Alhamdulillah is in that yacht is now open, and his age is advanced age now, over 70. Age, frail, thin, weak, it's about 5-6 years before he could pass away. In that state he's been transported from Jeddah right to Cairo, from Cairo to Malta prison, where he's living there. And his student, very dear and respectable student, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah, had volunteered that if it is out of India, then I will be with the Shaykh Hussain Rahmatullah, I will be at his service. Because everybody doesn't have the chance to do it, I will volunteer to be at his service in that zamana. So he saw his sheikh in that state, his ustad, his sheikh and everything. He saw him in that state and he began to cry, that I can't see you in this pitiful condition. Now for that also he found an occasion to make shukr for that difficulty. Imagine he's given his life, he's given his time, his effort, his energy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for jihad, for the freedom of India, for the Muslims. He's given his life, his wealth, his time, everything he's given. Everything. He has given everything. And then he is being put through this type of difficulty, this type of pains and everything. But when that pain and difficulty comes, then too he finds an occasion to make shukr. And he says, Alhamdulillah, ba musibat giriftarim naka bi ma'asiyat. Alhamdulillah, I am very grateful to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala has engaged me in some difficulty, some pain, some difficulty. He didn't engage me in disobedience. He didn't engage me in disobedience. If I was engaged in disobedience, then what? Imagine if I'm in robbing, in cheating, in plundering, whatever else. If I was in that, then what would have been the case? So Allah Ta'ala has engaged me in some difficulty, but that difficulty is I can manage it, I can take it on. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that will be passable, that will be manageable. But if it was that He had engaged me in His disobedience, then what would have been the case? So in that also he found an occasion to make shukr. So the real way to jam shaitan is to be making shukr all the time. At any given moment, any given place, any given situation, think about the shukr. Think about the aspect and the dimension of gratitude. And you'll find that you're blocking all the ways of shaitan. Now, for example, you just came home, you know, and the wife is letting you have it. Hey, yeah, you did this. And you're always doing wrong. Getting the wrong things. You're always getting the wrong thing. Actually, you get number two, you got number three. Why are you doing all this? Why are you stupid? When are you going to get brains? She's telling you like this. So now, one way is, only you got brains. Nobody else has got brains. Allah only gave you brains. What do you think about yourself? You got an attitude. So one way is to reply like that. That is easy. Word for word is easy, isn't it? You say one word, I say one word, it's easy that way. But the other way is, you look at all the comforts, the enjoyments, the favors that you have got on account of your wife. Like I said, the greatest favor, you know, the greatest favor, that on account of this wife, your iman is safe. Your iman is safe. Your mind is not floating around in any other haram things. During the night, during the day, you think, oh, I got a wife. I got any emotions and feelings, there's a place for me to offload. Right? Now, if there wasn't this, then what would have happened? My mind would have been wandering, I don't know, where it should have been wandering. Could have been gone in some severe places, in some terrible places could have gone. One person, he was having problems with his wife, so he went to have some good time with some loose woman. And he was on the act and he died. On the act he was died. When they found his body, that's how they found the body. On the act. And he was dead. He died. Now, for that man's children, his family, his close, near, dear ones, it will be a story for the rest of time, isn't it? Okay, this man died in this state. This was the circumstances that he died. This was the circumstances that he died. So, from the wife also, you can find an occasion of thanks. You can find an occasion of happiness. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, one murid used to come and complain, you know, okay, the wife is giving me uphill all the time. All the time she's giving me uphill. She's so weak, but she has the control over the husband. She's so weak, but yet she has the control over the husband. The wife was having it out with the mother-in-law. So the mother-in-law, she's reprimanding the wife. She's reprimanding the daughter-in-law. So, yeah, I will complain to your husband about what you're doing, your behavior and all that. So she smiled. She smiled. Just to spite, she smiled. Tu to khari khari sunayegi aur main to pari pari sunaungi. So this woman, you can't push them in the corner. They'll find some way to overcome you. They'll be one smarter than you. Tu to khari khari sunayegi. Khari khari doesn't mean khari kichri. It means something else here. Right. So she'll have something, some answer. So you don't look for the chance that I must have one statement above her. You say, no. The right way with a woman to see, ya boss. What do you say is right. But you do your own thing. You do your own thing, but in her presence, it must make her feel, ya boss. You know, what you're saying is right. You don't go and do the stupid things what she tells you. They may tell some stupid things. You don't listen to them in the stupidity. But make them feel big. In their presence, make them feel big. You will overcome a lot of hurdles. But the moment you want, no, I must have the last word. In every discussion, like I see, most of the youngsters, all educated people, most of them that come and complain, all educated people. But their problem is, they want to be very straight to the wife. Very, very straight, you know. Take it, go by the book. But you can't work out like that. Marital life can never work out. You go by the book, you can't work out like that. There must be give and take. Make her feel like she's the boss. She did something wrong, so you brought a bouquet of flowers and you gave it to her. So then the things will work right. But now you want to work by the book. Everything by the book, by the book. It doesn't work like that. They don't understand it, you see. A simple thing to understand is, women are supposed to be loved, not understood. What? Simple line. They are supposed to be loved. Like a child. Do you look to understand the child always? No, you look to some way to love him, to embrace him, to kiss him. Right? That's how you will relate to your small child, right? You don't look for understanding the child. So a woman is like that. They need to be loved, not to be understood. Now you say, no, I must understand her. She must understand me. But hey, forget all this mantik of yours. All that logic is illogical. Leave that out. Come to reality. She is like that, she's going to behave like that. So don't become illogical with her. Don't use logic with her. You're not going to get anyway. The simple way is, you're right. What you're saying is right. You know, they say, teri baat to 100% sahi hai, lekin parnala apne jagah par rahega. They say it's like a phrase used in Urdu, you know, like how they use idiomatic expression. So they use this expression as well. Teri baat to 100% sahi hai, lekin parnala apne jagah par rahega. The neighbor is complaining, you know, your gutter, it's causing a lot of problems. Then everybody's walking here, and such a mess it's creating. People's clothing getting napak, and you know, do something about it. And, you know, you need to fix it up. What do you think? The whole road belongs to you. So he gave him a bayan for 1 hour. Neighbor's giving him the bayan for 1 hour. So this man, very calm and composed, says, "What you're saying is 100%. But you see, the drain will just remain in its place. You don't want to move it out." So that line, you don't have to tell the wife, but you have to tell her what you're saying is right. But then do what you feel is right. Don't do what she says. Do what you think is right. But do it in your own way, now, with some wisdom, some hikmat, some ghar ka bhi akal hona chahiye. You need to have some natural brains you need to have. you know, little, you don't even have that, then really, then you are, Almar Thangi Sabrahma says, that one murid of his is always messing up things, So he told him, you know what, bhai, before you do anything, you must think about it. Don't just go and jump onto anything. Don't just think about it. What's your niyat? Why are you doing it? You know, look at it, examine the thing, then you go on to it. So now he's traveling with his whole family, wife and children, everybody on the train, and they're traveling. So you have, in India, when you're traveling by train, then you have a small station, you have a big station, you have a small platform, big platforms. So on the platform is a nice hot day, and he's thirsty and feeling nice. And on the platform, somebody is selling some cucumber and bhajia and all that with the lemon and all this, all the works, all the chutney and the spices and all that. And it's hot day, and you know, so his mouth watered, and impulse, and he just jumped off and he bought the stuff. Now he's thinking, hey, I didn't think, because before I do anything, I must think. So now he is thinking, and the train moved on. Now his wife and his children all are there, and they don't know how to go and how to stop, which platform they must stop. They don't know anything. This man is sitting outside the platform there. Okay? So now, ghar ki akal na ho, he doesn't have the basic logic. He doesn't have. There's going to be a problem for that person. So he came and related this to Maulana. I didn't think that you would take me to that level. All right, but if you had to take me to that level, what you should have done, you should have bought that bhajia, that lemon and the cucumber, everything. You should have brought into the train. Then you should have think now, what was my diet? Must I eat it? Now, they have gone in one direction and you have gone in another direction. So that's what I say, that this book knowledge that we have got, most of these educated professional people, they have got book knowledge. That application they don't have. And because they don't have that application, they mess up things. So for this, we need the company of our awliya mashayikh. They'll come and tell you, all right, this is how you reason, this is how you go, this is how you take your home. You will feel enjoyable, you will feel nice, you will feel happy. Basic things, simple basic things they will explain to you, and you will enjoy your life. Otherwise, you think you are too smart, you begin to have an attitude, no, I'm educated, I learned so many books, and you don't have the simple things, you're going to cause a problem, definitely. Definitely going to cause a problem. I'm telling you based on experience, I'm not telling you just like that. And my reasoning, simple reasoning is, look at it, from 50, 60 years ago, right? People that are married 60 years ago or 50 years ago, did you find marital problems? You didn't find, generally there wasn't any marital problems. Now and then there must be in some, every home, there must be the utensils clashing and all that. You must have that a little bit. But the homes worked. But now why there's so many problems? It's because of this. One is we don't have the aspect of gratitude. And number two, we don't have humility. We don't want to listen to anybody. Everybody feels, no, I am intelligent, I can reason myself, I can understand things myself, I don't need to refer to anybody. Why must I refer to anybody? So then you bring problems. You got that attitude. You got that type of pride, that arrogance. You think too smart of yourself. You don't want to lower yourself. What's going to happen then? There's going to be a breakup. So you're not good for yourself. You're not good for anybody else. First one you took, that also broke. Second also. Now you see the consequence of these things. And your wife is on one side, children is on the other side. And everybody is running their own lives. So the simple thing is we come back to humility, respect, gratitude. Then you see, you find the fulfillment of life. These are the basic things that Islam is teaching you. And they are the compulsory things. And the compulsory things that we need to get into our lives. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.